Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Kelsey Lee. Today's story is called New Year's Goblins, an adaptation of a Greek folktale written for you by Daniel Hines. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Eleanor, Vivian, and Mickey the Wonder Dog in Geneva, New York, and their families, and Cooper and Luca in Madison, Wisconsin, and their families. Thank you, Eleanor, Vivian, Mickey the Wonder Dog, Cooper, and Luca. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. If you'd like to support the show and get ad-free episodes a week early, you can subscribe to our feed on Wondery Plus Kids. Just find our feed in the Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app. Now, here's a word from our sponsors.
Hey, grown-ups.
On the Nintendo Switch system, you can team up with friends in Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Where you can meet talking flowers.
Life's full of surprises.
And where piranha plants sing.
And where Mario, Luigi, and Peach turn into elephants.
Wowie zowie!
And where this announcer turns into a...
super tiny announcer!
That's not in the game.
Sorry, got a little excited. Nintendo Switch, the home of Mario and friends. Game rated E for everyone. Game and system sold separately.
Thanks! Enjoy the episode! New Year's Goblins. Once upon a time, in ancient Greece, deep under the ground, there grew a tree that held the world together. It stretched all through the belly of the earth, its roots spreading out like sturdy beams, its trunk so thick you couldn't walk around it if you had 100 days. It grew through the stone and the oceans and the earth, and most dangerous of all, it grew through the caves of Calicanzari, also known as the New Year's Goblins. The goblins were nasty little creatures, different from their cousins in Germany and England. They had black legs like goats and grubby white torsos with pointed bat ears on their mischievous faces. They were only a couple of feet high, and they spent most of the year underground, attacking the world tree. They knew if they could only cut through the mighty trunk, the tree would topple. Greece and the rest of the world would spin apart into chaos, and they could run rampant in the ruined world. Luckily for us, they argued with each other constantly. For every hour they spent sawing and hacking at the tree's mighty trunk, they spent 3 pranking and arguing and wrestling over the wide, white, wiggly worms that crawled through the cave. They'd slurp them up like spaghetti, and then chase each other cackling through the caverns. When New Year's rolled around, though, they started making different plans. They were allowed on the surface only 12 days, between Christmas and the Epiphany on January 6th, also known as the 12 Days of Christmas. They used those 12 days to cause all kinds of chaos for the humans up above.
"It's almost time to go up," said one goblin.
She had a long, complicated name in goblin speech, but it basically translated to goop.
"I can't wait," said her best friend.
He was extra thick and extra hairy, and his name translated to gorp.
"Worms are amazing, but nothing is as good as human sweets."
"Oh, candy and cakes and pastry and pie," said goop. "Sugar and honey all buzzing with flies.
Frosting and feasting and chocolate eclairs. Donuts and cronuts all baked light as air."
They kept talking about sweets as they cut at the world tree with a long 2-goblin saw. It hacked and hawed back and forth and made an ugly sort of music. They were about to give it up for the day when suddenly the dirt above them began to rumble and grumble and sway. It rocked and rolled and seemed to run like water. And there it was. The tunnel to the surface was open. The New Year's goblins were free! They all cried out in joy, scampered up the rocky tunnel, and burst into the fresh air. They erupted in every direction like ants from an anthill and spread across the cities. Goop and Gorp stuck together and began to prowl, cackling through the streets of Greece.
"Oh, I can smell the sweets already," said Goop,
clambering up a gutter and creeping along a roof.
"I'm going to eat sugar until I'm sick as a dog with the flu," said Gorp,
following right along on her heels. They paused at the first chimney and took a big whiff of the smoke that billowed from the bricks. It smelled like bubbling stew, and they could detect something sweet in the kitchen beyond.
"Down the chimney we go," said Goop, leaping in.
"Bomb the way,"
bellowed Gorp, cannonballing after her. They crashed into the home and ransacked the kitchen and the pantry. They devoured cakes and snacks and had rampaging food fights with the vegetables.
"On guard," said Goop,
brandishing a stalk of celery.
Have at you, said Gorp, waving a long orange carrot.
They dueled back and forth across the house until the commotion woke up the humans. Cackling with glee, they grabbed the last piece of cake and disappeared back up the chimney. Up and down the streets they went, stealing sugary snacks and causing chaos, until finally they ran into a house that remembered how to deal with the goblins. On the roof, the humans had left a sack of Greek donut balls soaked in honey. The goblins scooped them up happily and didn't bother going down the chimney, sparing that family the worst of the trouble. As dawn approached, they stumbled upon the jackpot. A squat little shop on the village square with apartments above turned out to be a candy store. They crashed down through the chimney and gawked at the colorful cases of confection perfection.
I must be dreaming, Goop drooled. Where do we start? Gorp asked.
Lollipops or lemon drops?
Sour tarts or chocolate hearts?
Sugar plums or bubble gums?
Let's just start here, Gorp cried, lifting a jumbo-sized gobstopper and smashing it into a display case.
The glass shattered and tinkled to the floor. The goblins cackled with joy and began stuffing candy into their mouths and pockets and even a few bits into their ears. About then, the sun started to rise, and they disappeared back up the chimney, planning on returning the following night. Just as they left, the little boy whose parents owned the store wandered in. He stood there among the shredded wrappers and wadded up balls of gum and chocolate drool and could barely believe his eyes. Unfortunately for him, his father walked in a second later.
Nico, what have you done to our store? How many times have we told you the candy is for customers only?
Dad, it wasn't me, Nico said.
I just came in and found it like this. The door is locked, and so are the windows. No one has been in or out all night. Don't lie to me. Clean up this mess right this instant.
But, Dad!
No buts. Get it cleaned up.
He stormed out. Nico sighed and began to clean, grumbling all the while about how it wasn't fair. The next night, Goop and Gorp prowled their way around the city again. They terrorized house after house, skipping only those that left treats on the roof. By that point, word had gotten out that the goblins were in town, so the people had unearthed another old trick. They started burning smelly old shoes over their fires. The goblins took one whiff of those chimneys and turned up their noses.
Bleh, said Goop. Whatever they're eating in that house, I don't want it.
Gorp just shook his head and spit down the chimney. The goblins continued across the rooftops, collecting treats and trashing kitchens and avoiding smelly shoe smoke wherever they could. Soon the sky was gaining the pale light of dawn, and they headed back to the candy shop to end the night. They slid down the chimney together and rolled out of the still warm fireplace. The mess from the night before had been all cleaned up by Nico, and a fresh display of candy was laid out in a case.
Another feast in the making, cried Gorp.
This time I get to smash it, said Goop, and she gave a mighty hi-ya!
And kicked the glass in with her hoof. It sprayed across the floor, and the two goblins laughed madly and scooped up the candy inside. They grabbed pops and chocolate and candy canes and taffy and everything else they could hold in their long-fingered hands.
Hey, who's there?
Called Nico. He had been waiting up, hoping to catch whoever had wrecked the shop and got him into trouble.
Goblins!
He shrieked when he saw Goop and Gorp.
Humans!
They shrieked back and scurried up the chimney to hide for another day. Nico peered up after them, but they were gone before he could hope to catch them.
What's all that shouting? Said his dad, pushing into the shop. Nico, again? What has gotten into you?
Dad, it was the goblins!
Don't start with that nonsense. Just because half the city thinks goblins are real doesn't mean I'll have it here in my house.
Is everything okay?
Nico looked up and saw his grandmother, who he called Yaya. She was wizened and wrinkled, but clever as ever, and she had come up with most of the candy recipes they still used.
Nico trashed the shop again. He's afraid of goblins, and it's got him acting up.
Goblins? Asked Yaya. You saw the goblins.
Mom, you too? Asked Dad.
Hush, she said. Go make up some breakfast. I'll help Nico clean up. Nico's dad started to protest, but Yaya quieted him with a look.
Don't argue with your mother.
Dad walked into the kitchen grumbling about fairy tales and make-believe.
So, goblins,
Yaya asked as she helped Nico fetch the broom and begin to sweep up the broken glass.
I saw them, Nico said, blushing a little. Two little goblins. They were hairy and black on bottom, and pale and thin up top. They had bat ears and big smiles like they thought robbing our shop was the funniest thing ever.
Kali Kanseri, the New Year's goblins, said Yaya. They love sweets. It's no wonder they visited our shop again.
New Year's goblins, said Nico. How do we stop them?
Well, the common ways are to put sweets on the roof or to burn a sticky shoe in the fireplace so they don't come down the chimney. But your father would never agree to that.
So there's nothing we can do?
I didn't say that. There is one other way. It's an older, more secret way. The goblins live in tunnels. They cannot help but count holes when they see them. The problem is they are not good at counting, and they argue with each other almost constantly.
So how does that help us?
Let's finish with this mess and I'll show you.
That night, Goop and Gorp made their rounds once more. By this time, more than half the roofs either had sweets on top or stinky shoe smoke coming out of the chimney, so they were frustrated and still hungry by the time dawn was approaching.
It's time to go back to the candy shop, said Goop. I'm tired of sniffing smelly smoke.
I thought you'd never suggest it, said Gorp. Last one there asked to take a bath.
Cackling and pushing and shoving, they raced back to the candy shop. This time, though, they were distracted by something strange hanging from the front door.
What? What is that?
Asked Goop.
It's some kind of holy bowl, said Gorp.
In reality, it was a colander, which is like the strainer you might use for noodles. This one was metal, with 100 tiny little holes punched through to let the water drain out.
Look at all those holes, said Goop. It's beautiful, said Gorp. There must be a thousand.
Not a thousand, said Goop.
There's one, two, four. That's not right. It goes 1,000,006. You dirtball. It's definitely 1,000,008. Elephant, 2, a baker's dozen.
Back and forth they argued until the sun surprised them on the horizon. They ran on home without ever making their way inside the candy shop. The next day, Nico and Yaya told all of their neighbors about their trick, and when the goblins came in the next day, they never made it past the first house. All over the city, you could hear goblins trying to count and never quite managing it. And before they knew it, the 12 days were up, and the New Year's goblins had to go back below the earth.
I hate counting,
Goop grumbled as she made her way back to the World Tree.
Just because you can't do it, said Gorp. You can't do it either! Yeah, I guess I hate counting too.
They picked up their 2-goblin saw and began to hack away again at the trunk of the World Tree. It had fully regrown during the 12 days they were away, so they were basically starting from scratch. If they had been more clever, they might have put that together. But they weren't, so they didn't. And that's why the New Year's goblins are forever at work, never making any progress, but still causing mischief and stealing candy every year. The End. Today's story, New Year's Goblins, was an adaptation of a Greek folktale written for you by Daniel Hines, edited and produced for you by Andrew Martin, and performed for you by me, Kelsey Lee. If you would like to support Stories Podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Check out all of our merch available at storiespodcast.com/shop, commission a special video on Cameo, follow us on Instagram at Stories Podcast, or simply tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.